ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. أما بعد، فقد وصلنا في شرح كتاب قاعدة جليلة في التوسل والوسيلة الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله تعالى
إلى point number
واحد
page 91
رقم 511.
إن شاء الله we'll start today page 91.
قال رحمه الله عن هذا الباب حديث ذكره موسى بن عبد الرحمن صاحب
511
بإسناده عن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما مرفوعا أنه قال: من سره أن يوحيه الله حفظ القرآن
وحفظ that موسى the son of
Abd al-Rahman
al-San'ani, and he's one of the people who interpreted
وليشربه على الريح.
انتربريت ذا قران.
وليصم ثلاثة أيام. وليكن إفطاره عليه. ويدعو به في أدبار صلواته: اللهم إني أسألك بأنك مسؤول لم يسأل مثلك ولا يسأل، وأسألك بحق محمد نبيك وإبراهيم خليلك وموسى نبيك وعيسى روحك وكلمتك ووجيهك، وذكر تماما الدعاء. وهنا طبعا كان الموضوع الحديث هنا كان المعلم رحمه الله
speech, here for this speech the author the author
التوسل
الإمام ابن تيمية
صلى الله عليه وسلم بعد موته، وأن يسأل الله تعالى بالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
He said that here is a proof. Here is a proof that we can ask Allah to do us something in that speech.
تخريج هذه الأحاديث. هذا واحد من هذه الأحاديث، يعني يروى عن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما مرفوعا يعني عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. فالحديث كما سمعتم يعني من السبب إيه؟
In this speech, whoever wants to learn the whole Quran, memorize the whole Quran, and know all kinds of knowledge, so he has to write this prayer down. He puts some honey in like a bowl, and then he would say this speech, and then he would drink the honey with the water in this speech. And it is alleged, it's not a real prayer. It's alleged that it's not a real dua. It's not a real dua, and it says that whoever wants to learn the Quran, they should put some honey and mix this honey with some water, dilute this honey with water, and then he would say this dua over this honey mixed with water, and then after he says this dua, the one we're gonna say now, he should drink it, and after that he should be able to learn the Quran in a more easy way. And he has to drink it like break his fast with it in the morning, and then he would fast for 3 days, and every time he fasts for 3 days he would break his fast with it, and then he would say, and this dua is oh Allah, I'm asking you, you're the only one to be asked. And I ask you by Muhammad, peace be upon him, and Ibrahim, peace be upon him, and Musa, peace be upon him, and Isa, peace be upon him, your word. And this is all the words in the dua. So this is the dua. And it's like a fake dua, it's not a real dua.
زعم أن هذا التفسير هو تفسير ابن عباس، التفسير يروي عن ابن جريج عن عطاء عن ابن عباس،
and there is this guy who was called Abu Hatim ibn Haban. He's like a fortune teller. He used to put speeches and say that some other people said that speech, and they did not. So he used to make up stuff. That they said the same thing that we mentioned earlier, the same prayer, the fake prayer.
رضي الله عنه ليس فيه مسلم ثلاثة أيام. ده من طريق موسى بن إبراهيم المروزي وساق السند. طيب موسى بن إبراهيم هذا اللي هو يرويه عن المسعود أو نفس القصة عن المسعود. قال فيه يحيى بن معين كذاب، وقال الدارقطني مكذوب، وقال ابن حبان كان مغفلا يلقن فيتلقى فاستحق الثقة.
And this is a proof that we all these are proofs that we that asking Allah by the Prophet peace be upon him is something that we should abandon. And Musa ibn Ibrahim said all these. There's a bunch of people who said that the aforementioned prayer, the fake one, is a very weak and one. So till point 519, all these points are in the same, discussing the same thing.
يقول والمقصود هنا أنه ليس في هذا الباب حديث واحد مرفوع إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يعتمد عليه في مسألة شرعية باتفاق أهل المعرفة بحديثه.
What is meant here, that all the speeches, all the speeches about the people told from the Prophet, peace be upon him, that we should ask the Prophet, peace be upon him, that we should go to ask the Prophet, peace be upon him, to do something for us after he passed away. They are all weak speeches, some of them fake speeches, and some of these speeches were put by people who want just to do harm to Islam, it is put by people either intentionally or unintentionally, and in both cases we don't have a single proof from Sharia that all these hadith from the Prophet peace be upon him are true or were true.
بعدما قرر يعني من الأدلة أنه من المؤمن يعني إنما يسأل الله تعالى وحده.
In all the points before, it was meant that the author is telling us to ask Allah directly, not to ask the Prophet.
طيب يعني الخصوم اللي هم يعني القبوريون الذين يذهبون الى جواز سؤال الله بالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
And we are just
ببعض الاثار
arguing against what the people who go to the graves, people who go to the grave lovers, who go to the grave and just stay there and mention the dead people in their prayers, you know, they think it might happen faster for them, something might be answered faster for them just because they mentioned the name of the dead people, including the prophets, including the pious people, you know, and all this is wrong practice.
مروي عن هذا السلف يقول أكثره ضعيف.
فمنها ذكر بعض منها
and point number 500
فمنها حديث الأربعة الذين اجتمعوا عند الكعبة وسألوا وهم عبد الله ومصعب ابن الزبير وعبد الله بن عمر وعبد الملك ابن
speeches here we're going to mention some يعني قصة those weeks speeches build the story the four people عبد الله بن الزبير
ومصعب بن
الزبير مصعب بن الزبير
وعبد الله بن عمر
وعبد الله بن عمر
وعبد الملك
أن عبد الملك بن مروان
القصة من الله بليس وعبد اجتمعوا عند الكعبة وكل واحد منهم يتمنى أمنية
came together at the place where the Kaaba is and everybody was wishing that Allah would do him something
الرواية التي هي أصح منها ويبين الفرق بين
الروايتين. قد ذكر
أبو الدنيا في كتاب
version of this tale and then he will tell us the stronger version of this story.
روى فيها the
person who tells us this his name is Ibn Abi al-Dunya and the book he mentions this in a book called the people who are always present in their prayers
كنا بفناء الكعبة أنا وعبد الله بن عمر وعبد الله بن الزبير ومصعب بن الزبير وعبد الملك ابن مروان الشعبي على حسب هذه الرواية
according to this
الكعبة هو وهؤلاء الأربعة
according to this
فقال القوم بعد أن فرغوا من حديثهم
that
ليقم كل رجل منكم فليأخذ بالركن اليماني وليسأل الله حاجته فإنه يعطى من سعته يعني الله تعالى يعطيه من سعته إذا إيه يعني أخذ بالركن اليمن من أركان الكعبة والركن الذي في جهة اليمن من أركان الكعبة ويسأل حاجته فإن الله تعالى يعني يعطيه من سعته سبحانه ثم قالوا قم يا عبد الله بن الزبير فإنك أول مولود في الإسلام بعد الهجرة عبد الله بن الزبير رضي الله عنه كان
أول مولود بعد الهجرة that every one of them will go to a corner of Al-Kaaba and then he would wish whatever he wanted to wish and then they asked Abdullah ibn Zubayr and then they asked him to do this for Jesus they said you were the first born baby after in Islam after Hijra from Mecca to Al-Medina
فرح المسلمون به بموجوده وكذا وكان اول موجود يعبده بين المسلمين بعد
الهجره. He was the first born Muslim.
فقالوا قم يا عبد الله بن الزبير فانك اول موجود في الاسلام بعد
الهجره.
فقام فاخذ بالركن اليمين ثم قال اللهم انك عظيم ترجى لكل عظيم.
So Abdullah ibn Zubayr went to this corner of Al-Kaaba because he was the first one he was asked to do this. And then
I said,
or every person who thinks he's mighty goes to you and wishes something. that you would not make me die till I rule or be like a king.
ثم قام عبد الملك بن مروان فأخذ بالركب اليماني ثم قال اللهم رب السماوات السبع ورب الأرض ذات النفس بعد القفر أسألك بما سألك به عبادك المطيعون لأمرك
And then
Mus'ab,
another person of the four people, went to another, went to the Yemeni corner of the Kaaba, and then he said, "Oh Allah, you are the Lord of everything, and everything comes back to you. I ask you with your power that you will never make me pass away until I be a king of Iraq or I rule Iraq." And then Abdul Malik ibn Marwan, it was his turn, and he went to the Yemeni corner, and then he said, "Oh Allah, you are the Lord of the seven heavens, and you are the Lord of the earth. You're the one who makes the plants, you know, grow after drought. And I ask you by all the pious people who worship you." Etc.
قال أحمد بن حنبل: كتبت عنه ثم حدث بأحاديث موضوعة فتركناه. لم أحمد قال كتبت عنه.
And in number 521,
ثم حدث بأحاديث موضوعة فتركناه.
The author says,
the person
called Ismail ibn Adan, who told this from Sufyan al-Thawri, is a liar. He's not true in what he says. And then Ahmad ibn Hanbal, he said that I wrote this down and I believed that this is true. And then I was told that the same person always told a lie and told of speeches that that were fake. So I just put it down and. I just scratched that off as if it was never there.
وقال الجوزجاني ظهر منه على الكذب.
And Al-Jawzani is a person who interpreted the Quran as well and told the hadith from the Prophet peace be upon him. He said it appears to be not true. And Tariq ibn Abd al-Aziz, he's a well-known person by these days. He said that the Thawri said that whoever told that, we never know who he is.
هؤلاء الصحابة كانوا يسألون الله بحرمة العرش وحرمة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وكذا من خلال قصة مكذوبة لكن قال وقد خولف فيها يعني بالإضافة إلى كونها مكذوبة فلها روايات أخرى بأسانيد يعني أصح منها.
Not only it's a lie. There is a lot of
proof
that goes against it, and whatever is told against it, we have proof that it's true.
قال اجتمع في الحجر مصعب وعروة وعبد الله بن الزبير وعبد الله بن عمر.
In this tale, there is a big difference that Mus'ab and Urwa ibn Abdullah ibn Zubayr and Abdullah ibn Umar.
فقالوا تمنوا فقال عبد الله بن زبير.
Differences in his names.
أما أنا فأتمنى الخلافة. قال
then they said in this tale, now we have to wish something that these people were by the Kaaba, where the Kaaba is, and then they said we should wish now. So Abdullah ibn Zubayr said, as for me, So I wish to
rule the kingdom.
And then Urwa said, as for me, I wish that I teach knowledge. And then Mus'ab says, as for me, I just want to rule Iraq. And I want to just marry Aisha, the daughter of Talha, and the daughter of
Hussein.
And Abdullah ibn Umar said, as for me, I just I need forgiveness. I just wish forgiveness.
We all got there. قيل له فيه ادع بكذا وبكذا ومثل هذا لا يجوز ان يكون
نمبر 523 says that this is a better thing than the other one, the one that comes before that, because it's people of knowledge or a scholar says that this is a better tale than the other one. It has some truth to it.
يعني يحكون هي حكايات أن فلان رأى في المنام أنه كان رأيتم في المنام وقال له ادعوا بالدعاء الفلاني ويكون دعاء فيه.
And then in this same chapter there is some tales from some people that people said saw some dreams while they were asleep, that people came to them and they said, when you pray, mention this person in your prayers and mention that person in your prayers. And such tales should not be taken as truthful or should not be taken as a guide that we should follow. It's only dreams, and scholars don't agree on a single one of those.
جاء رجل
from Abu Hashim, he said, I heard a lot that Muhammad ibn Kathir ibn Rifa'a, he said that a man came to Abdullah ibn Sa'id and he touched his belly.
And
he said, you have the sickness that there is no cure to. And he said, what is it? What is it called? He said, and then the man said,
Allahu Rabbi,
my only Lord. I would never seek any Lord but him.
Ya Muhammad, inni atawajjahu bika ila Rabbi.
So he asked Allah,
by
the Prophet peace be upon him, and he called, O Muhammad, I just mention you and wish that Allah, I just mention you in my prayer to Allah, and I wish that Allah would answer me and would fulfill whatever I'm asking.
دعا به
and
بعض
he, he said that his belly or his belly or in his stomach was totally cured after that.
التوسل بالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في الدعاء ونهى به آخر يعني نهى عنه آخر. فإن كان مقصود المتوسلين التوسل بالإيمان به وبمحبته وبموالاته وبطاعته فلا نزاع بين الطائفتين.
يقول يعني مسألة. In number 525. So if we pray to Allah, and just when we just have the intention, when we mention the name Muhammad, that we just mention our faith in him, there is no argument here. Imam Ahmad. He has like a pass for us. He has like a pass for us that we could use. We could use the name of the Prophet, peace be upon him, in our prayers. But what do we mean? Actually, what do we mean when we do that? What do we usually mean when we do that? So if we are asking Allah, mentioning the Prophet's name, and we mean in our intention, we mean that our faith and that we are asking Allah by our faith and in the Prophet, peace be upon him. This is totally fine. So whenever people do that, and if they just mean that if they have their intention, if they feel the intention while they do that, that they just are asking Allah they wish Allah to do something and for them, and they just mean their obedience to the Prophet, that they follow every word the Prophet says, and their belief in the Prophet and their faith in the Prophet, this is totally fine.
وإن كان مقصودهم التوسل بذاته، ولكن إن كان مقصود الإمام أحمد في الرواية التي أجاز فيها هذا
If the intention of people while they mention the Prophet's name in their belief and their prayers, the Prophet himself or the Prophet in person, we have a lot of argument against this. There is a lot of discussion and argument and debate against this. It is very controversial. And in this case, in this case, if a scholar tells us to do something, we don't just go by it. We go by it if he has a proof. If he has a proof from a Sunnah, from a Shara, from the Quran.
هنا نرجع إلى قوله سبحانه وتعالى فإن تنازعتم في شيء فردوه إلى الله والرسول.
When we have something that has so much controversy to it, we just go to whatever the Prophet said in the Sunnah. So, and if we really do that, there is no controversy in that. We should never reach any controversy. We should never have any controversial points in the Quran.
Or both. كن شخص دعا بدعاء معين فشكر هل هذا معناه ان هذا الدعاء صحيح؟
So if that person who has the sickness
فإن كثيرا من الناس يدعون
cured, if this person was totally cured, do we take that as a proof, as an infinite proof that someone mentioned the Prophet, peace be upon him, it should be right, and we should take this as a proof, and we always use it like that? This could be a fitna. This could be like a test from Allah to us. To see if we're going to follow this, if we're going to just follow blindly or just for that, or what we should do if we're going to ask the scholars, and the scholars say something, do they have a proof, or are we going to just believe in what they say and that's it blindly as well?
قال وبعض الناس يقصد الدعاء عند الكنائس والكنائس وغير ذلك ويدعو التماثيل التي في الكنائس ويحصل ما يحصل من غرضه وبعض الناس يدعو بأدعية محرمة باتفاق المسلمين ويحصل ما يحصل من غرضه فحصول الغرض ببعض الأمور لا يستلزم إباحته وإن كان الغرض مباح الغرض اللي هو الهدف من الدعاء يعني يدعو مثلا يطلب الرزق.
So if you ask Allah to be, if someone ask Allah for sustenance or a cure from illness, there is nothing wrong if you ask Allah to do this, but the method you do or the path you follow and you think that this path is the most truthful, the most rightful path there is, and you just follow it, there is nothing wrong in what you are asking Allah, but the way you are doing it is wrong. There are some people who go to churches and ask these idols, and there are some people who go to and ask idols in everywhere, and then. What happens afterwards is that they get what they want. Does this mean that this idol responded to them, or they were right in going to the churches asking the idols? Were they right? No, they might be right. There is nothing wrong if in their aim. I mean, their wish. There is nothing wrong with their wish itself, like asking for a cure, like asking for some money, some more sustenance, some more business, for example. There is nothing wrong in asking that, but asking the way these people do it, like asking, like going to the churches, asking the idol in the churches, or going to the churches in the first place. Is that right? Of course not. So if something, if they wish something and it happens to them, this is not a proof that we should take as valid that they were right in doing this, because the way they do it is totally wrong. The author, Ibn Taymiyyah, he says here,
he says,
some people use
magic to
cure illness. Does this mean that we are allowed to use magic or black magic to cure illnesses? Of course not. And if a person used like a forbidden dua, a forbidden prayer, he used like the wrong words, totally the wrong words ever, and afterwards we find out he got what he wanted somehow, does this mean that he was right in whatever he said, and we should just follow him saying or repeating the same words that he said? Of course not. And our Sharia, with nothing but prophets and hadith, prophets and harm for us, and profitable means, and nothing that could harm us, or in any way it can, and stop harmful means and ends for us. Otherwise we would have found that there is nothing forbidden, and we would have done everything that we wanted, and all forbidden stuff would have become okay to do. And of course, this is not the
case. Number
527.
لذلك أمر بها الشرع. يعني لا يأتي أحد يقول لك الشيء المضر نتركه، الذي فيه ضرر نتركه، والذي فيه نفع نعمل به. بدون موازنة
came to us and he said everything that harms us we should not do, and everything that has benefit to us we should do, without balancing, without using our minds to judge.
فيها بعض المنافع لكن فيها أضرار.
Is that the right thing to follow? No, it is not.
والأمور المطلوبة شرعا كالعبادات والجهاد في سبيل الله
like العبادات and going out and fighting for the sake of Allah, like fighting for the sake of Allah, jihad, for example, is that harmful? Yes, this is harmful. You might get killed, but should I stop doing it? No, you should not stop doing it. So not everything that is harmful we should not do, and not everything that is right we should do. We should use our minds and we should judge.
حفاظا على قوة المسلمين، العبادات كلها فيها بعض
العبادات. There is a lot of harmful points, harmful stuff in doing some of the ibadat, some of the practice when we practice our ibadat, like standing a lot, standing a lot of time when we pray. Is that good? No, this is not good. But should we do it? Yes, we should do it because there is a lot of benefit, a lot of good.
لكن لما كانت مصلحته راجحة على مفسدته أمر به الشارع، فهذا أصل يجب اعتباره. هذه العبادات مصلحته أكبر، ولا يجوز أن يكون الشيء واجبا أو مستحبا إلا بدليل
شرعي يقتضي إجابته.
والعبادات لا تكون إلا واجبة أو مستحبة، فما ليس واجبا فليس بعبادة.
More meaningful
والدعاء لله تعالى
what we get from more than the harm that we have to undergo when we practice these
عبادات. كدليل على صحة دعاء معين أن شخصا دعا به وحصل له مصلحة من ورائه، يقول هذا لا يصلح دليلا.
So it's not a proof here that someone goes to the wrong place, uses the wrong words, and then his wish was fulfilled somehow for some reason. It's not a proof that we should follow the same path.
These persons did not,
and we should not choose the same words. There is no proof that he was right or they were right, so and we should not follow this.
ألا وثبت الأصول. نقول في الجملة نقل عن بعض السلف وعن بعض العلماء أنهم سألوا الله بالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، بخلاف دعاء الموتى والغائبين من الأنبياء والملائكة والصالحين والاستغاثة بهم والشكوى إليهم، فهذا مما لم يفعله أحد من السلف من الصحابة والتابعين لهم بإحسان، ولا رخص فيه أحد من أئمة المسلمين.
We have levels here. Number 520. We have levels of
tawassul.
We have levels of supplication. One of those levels on the top that takes people to shirk, takes people to what is shirk is, and that is that there is partners with Allah, God forbid. Like talking to the Prophet after he passed away, like talking to the Prophet and complaining to the Prophet, like saying somebody says to the Prophet, you know, I have this illness, or I don't have enough money, or oh, you messenger, give me that, or will you please give me that, make my wish come true. And there is another level that you ask Allah, and that you ask Allah mentioning the name of the Prophet, and we said before that mentioning the name of the Prophet and we just mean he himself, this is totally wrong to do, wrong practice and totally wrong word for him to do this. But if we mention the Prophet, our belief in the Prophet, we mean by the name, we mention the name, but we mean behind mentioning the name, our belief in him, you know, and our faith in the Prophet, peace be upon him, and this is totally fine to do.
قال وحديث الأعمى الذي رواه الترمذي والنسائي هو من القسم الثاني من التوسل بدعائه صلى الله عليه وسلم. قال فإن الأعمى قد طلب من النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم
who came to the Prophet peace be upon him and asked the Prophet peace be upon him that Allah would give him his sight back, that he would see again.
بالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
And the Prophet just told him, if you want to be patient enough and just wait, if you want, I can.
نقول اللهم إني أسألك بإيماني بنبيك وبطاعتي لنبيك مثلا أن تغفر.
And then he said, if you don't want to wait, you can just say this supplication. And he told him what to say in his prayer, the exact words that he should say in his prayer. And even when we look at that, the blind guy said, no, I want to do it now. I want to do it now. And then the Prophet, peace be upon him, told him the exact words, and then he went, he made wudu, and then he prayed two rak'ahs, and then he said the same words that the Prophet, peace be upon him, told him to say. And even if we look deeply, if we look deep at this, we find that it's nothing but obedience to the Prophet, peace be upon him. It's a belief in the Prophet, peace be upon him, because he believes in everything the Prophet says, you know. And moreover, the Prophet was still alive at that time. He spoke to him in person. He did not pass away yet. So, and this is one of the totally fine things to do. He was talking to the Prophet himself. Not only this blind guy. We have this tale about. A lot of the companions went to the Prophet and asked him to pray for them, or asked him for what to say in this prayer, and he would always tell them, and this is totally fine to do. This is the second type of dua, second type of what kind of dua? Second type of the legitimate dua we should say. So it's like a kind of innovation if you ask Allah, you using the name of the Prophet, and you mean the name of the Prophet in person, and it would be shirk, God forbid, that you ask the Prophet himself to do something for you. And this tale of the blind guy who came to the Prophet, peace be upon him, that Allah will give him his sight back. This is the second type of the, this is the second type or the second kind of the legitimate dua.
فإن الأعمى قد طلب من النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أن يدعو له بأن يرد الله عليه بصره.
So the blind guy came and asked the Prophet to ask the Prophet that he would ask Allah to give him his sight back. And then he said, if you want to be patient, it's better for you, or if you want to go make wudu and then come back and pray two rak'ahs, and then he would say, oh Allah, I ask you by the Prophet of Mercy, peace be upon him, Muhammad, peace be upon him.
هذا توسل بدعاء النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وشفاعته. ودعا له النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. ولهذا قال.
And in this دعاء.
فسأل الله أن يقبل شفاعة رسوله فيه وهو دعاؤه. يقول ما معنى شفعه فيه؟
And the meaning of make him do intercession for me and make me do intercession for him, that Allah may accept both his intercession, the Prophet's intercession, peace be upon him, in this blind guy.
ولا يقصد التوسل بالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بمعنى التوسل بذاته وكذا، وإنما كان القصد أتوسل إليك بما أتوجه إليك بنبيك، يعني بدعاء نبيك لي.
So when the Prophet told the blind guy to use this kind of prayer, this kind of dua, he just meant that I'm using the Prophet's words. I'm using the Prophet's words, and I'm just following
up what the Prophet is telling me. It's like faith in the Prophet, peace be upon him.
Faith in what he says to him.
And that's what he did. فإنه صلى الله عليه وسلم ببركة دعائه لهذا الأعمى أعاد الله عليه بصره. كل هذا الحديث يذكر العلماء في دلائل النبوة.
Scholars all agreed that this dua is one of the miracles of the Prophet, peace be upon him. And the Prophet was always answered in his prayers. This is one of the miracles of the Prophet, peace be upon him. Unique to the Prophet, peace be upon him.
And
the proof of the blessing of this prayer that Allah gave this blind guy his sight back. These were the blessings of the miracle of the Prophet.
لما نلاحظ بين الروايات فيها ان الرجل الضرير قال للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ادعو الله ان يعافيه فطلب.
And here is another version
of the same
story about the blind guy and the Prophet, peace be upon him, that he came to him and he asked him that he would pray for him, and the Prophet asked him to either wait, and that's better for him if he waits, or he would pray for him, and then the guy said, no, I can't wait. I just want to pray Allah that he would give me my sight back. And then the Prophet, peace be upon him, asked him to go and make wudu and then come back and pray two rakahs. And then he would say, oh Allah, I ask you by the Prophet, peace be upon him, that the Prophet of mercy, peace be upon him. And then he said, oh Muhammad, I just prayed that Allah would give me what I wanted, or fulfill what I wished. And I hope that he fulfills it for me. And then he asked Allah that he would make intercession for the Prophet, and that the Prophet make intercession for him. And that means that Allah accepts the intercession of the Prophet for this guy on the Day of Judgment.
هذا معنى كيف تشفيع الأعمى في النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، يعني استجب دعاء الأعمى لقبول دعاء النبي.
How could we interpret the word accept his intercession for me and accept my intercession for him? The blind guy intercession for the Prophet means his prayer. His prayer mentioning the name of the Prophet, peace be upon him. That's all.
ثم ذكر يعني ايضا تخريج الدعاء لغايه 535 ذكر يعني روايه
535 the author here, or the author here, just mentions all the other versions of the same story till we get to number 535. Our brother here asks about when the Prophet asked him to go and make wudu, and the Sheikh said that he might not be that clean, so that's why the Prophet asked him to go and make wudu and then come back, and that's better for him.
وفيه قصة قد يحتج بها من توسل به بعد موته إن كانت صحيحة. كانت صحيحة. يعني الشيخ الإسلام رحمه الله يحاول أن هذا من أنصاته رحمه الله. يعني كان زي الشيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله كان يعني معروف عنه أنه كان إذا يعني ناظر قوما أو كذا يذكر لهم من أدلتهم يعني أكثر مما يعرفونهم من أدلة. يعني هو يخبرهم يعني
شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية if he just debated against people who are just saying something that they claim it's right, he just gives them so many proofs that they even don't know about the point they are talking about.
فقال لهم إيه أدلة؟ يقول من ضمن أدلتهم رواية عند البيهقي لنفس حديث الأعمى وفيها قصة يعني فيها تفصيل زيادة يعني في هذه القصة. طيب نقرأ هذه الرواية وكيف يعني يجاب عنها. قال رواه من حديث إسماعيل بن شبيب بن سعيد الحضرقي عن شبيب بن سعيد عن روح بن القاسم عن أبي جعفر المدني عن أبي أمامة بن سهل بن حمد أن رجلا كان يختلف إلى عثمان بن عفان في حاجة له. رجل هنا نقرأ القصة يعني بتأمل أن رجل كان يختلف إلى عثمان بن عفان في حاجة له، يعني شخص
بحر
عند عثمان بن عفان رضي الله عنه يريد مالا أو يريد يعني
something that had needed something from عثمان بن عفان
رضي الله عنه كان يختلف إليه يعني تردد عليه
he needed something. He used to visit Uthman ibn Affan a lot for just this purpose. And Uthman ibn Affan, may Allah be pleased with him, he never looked at him, and he never looked at what the guy wished.
فلقي الرجل عثمان بن حنيف فشكى رضي الله فشكى إليه ذلك.
And then this guy who would always visit Uthman ibn Affan for something, he met Uthman ibn Hanif. He met Uthman ibn Hanif, may Allah be pleased with him. And then he told him what happens in a form of a complaint. He told him that I always go to Uthman ibn Affan and I always ask him for this particular request. And he looks at me and he never looks at what I want him to do for me. And then Uthman ibn Hanif, the guy who received the complaint,
ثم أتي المسجد فصلي ركعتين ثم قل اللهم إني أسألك
عثمان الحنيف may Allah be with him who received the complaint يا محمد go to where people make wudu and make wudu and then come to the masjid
ثم اذكر حاجة
and then make two
ركعات
and then say, oh Allah, I am asking you, and I am asking you, and I'm asking you by the Prophet, peace be upon him, the peace of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him.
ثم روح يعني اذهب إلى عثمان بن عفان
and then
حتى أروح يعني
after you do this go to عثمان بن عفان
قال فانطلق الرجل فصنع ذلك ثم أتى
and ask him for the same favor
فجاء البواب فأخذ بيده فأدخله على عثمان
and then he went to عثمان بن عفان after he did what what he was told. And then Uthman ibn Affan, may Allah be pleased with him, he asked him, to sit at the same table he was sitting at.
وقال انظر ما كانت لك من حاجة فذكر حاجته فقضاها له عثمان.
And then Uthman ibn Affan asked him, do you have anything that you wish me to do for you? And then this guy who had the complaint before, he told him what he wanted, and then Uthman did it for him.
فقال له
he made his wish come true.
ما كان ينظر في حاجتي ولا يلتفت إليه.
And then the guy, this guy who had a complaint before, he met Uthman ibn Hanif, who told him to do wudu and mention this prayer or do this prayer in the masjid after he makes wudu 2 rakas. And then he said to him, may Allah reward you. Uthman ibn Affan never looked at me and never looked at my favor, you know, the thing I wanted, my request, I mean. Because Uthman ibn Affan never looked at me and never looked at my request. And then Uthman ibn Hanif said, The guy said to Uthman ibn Hanif because he thought that Uthman ibn Hanif went to Uthman ibn Affan and asked him to look into what this guy wanted. And then Uthman ibn Hanif said, don't you ever think that I talked to Uthman ibn Affan, may Allah be pleased with him, that he would look into what you want. I did not. But it is just the prayer you mentioned, you know, it's just the supplication you mentioned in your prayer. And he reminded him of the blind guy who said the same prayer in the same supplication in his prayer after he went and made wudu and prayed 2 rak'ahs. And then said this supplication that the Prophet, peace be upon him, told him at this time.
فتكلم عن تخريجها وأطال في الحقيقة لغاية الفقرة رقم 549.
Until point 549, the author just talking about this story of Uthman ibn Hanif and Uthman ibn Affan who had a complaint.
إسماعيل بن شبيب بن سعيد عن أبيه اللي هو شبيب بن سعيد. وابن شبيب بن سعيد هذا له إيه؟ له مناكير، يعني له بعض الأحاديث الإيه؟ المنكرة، وإن كان يعني له روايات صحيحة يعني وكذا، لكن له أحاديث منكرة، يعني ليس كل الروايات مقبولة، فله أحاديث مناكير يرويها وكذا، يحتاج يعني أن تعرض روايته
And this Shabib ibn Sa'id we mentioned when we mentioned this story, when we first began to mention this story, point 536, he had so many speeches that we would have some doubt, that we would doubt, and we should always, when we have doubt, we just compare it to some other hadith, and we should have proof. So every thing that he says. And Shabib ibn Sa'id still had some ahadith that he told, and they were all right ahadith from the Prophet, peace be upon him. But he had some that were doubtful too. So point 550. Till point 549, it's all about this story of Shabib ibn Sa'id.
ثم بعد ذلك سيناقشها على افتراض أنها صحيحة. يعني جانب مين؟ قل يا أولا يعني لا تثبت، وثانيا لو افترضنا صحتها أو صحتها.
شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية it's his method that he would argue that something is not true and he would say all the proofs, he can list all the proofs that is not true. And then he would say, what if it's true? What would happen if we assume it's true?
عند الحاكم يقضي حاجة المحتاج، هذا من الأمور الجائزة. فإلا يعني أن يكون في إسقاط حد من حدود الله أو في أمر فيه ظلم لآخرين أو تعدى على حقوقهم أو كذا، لكن إذا توسط له في حاجة المباحة عند الحاكم فهذا من الشفاعة التي يؤجر عليها الشافع، اشفعوا تؤجروا كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. طيب لو نأتي إلى الفقرة رقم 550.
We come to the point.
قال وبالجملة فهذه الزيادة لو كانت ثابتة لم تكن فيها حجة. بالجملة يعني خلاصة ما تقدم أن هذه الزيادة يعني فيها يعني كلام من جهة السند، لكن يقول حتى لو فرضنا أنها ثابتة
So if we just assumed that this story we just mentioned was true and there was nothing against it, and everything what was said was true.
يدعى ببعضه دون بعض فإنه لم يأمره بالدعاء المشروع بل
What would happen if we just assumed that the story we just mentioned is true, totally true, and there is nothing wrong with it.
لو كانت ثابتة فخلاصتها أن الصحابي الكريم عثمان بن حنيف رضي الله عنه
We would just come out of it that that Uthman ibn Hanif thought that this supplication that the Prophet peace be upon him gave to the blind guy So we just Uthman ibn Hanif thought that this part of the supplication would fit this guy here in this situation, and he can use it in his this situation to get his his wish.
قال ولفظ الحديث يناقض ذلك ولفظ الحديث يناقض ذلك.
And the word in the hadith, the wording in this hadith, in the hadith we mentioned of the blind guy, goes against this. If we assume that it's true, the wording in this particular hadith goes against this.
وإنما يدعى بهذا الدعاء إذا كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم داعيا شافعا له بخلاف من لم يكن كذلك. يعني إنما يقول شفعه فيا لمن كان إيه؟
When the blind guy repeated what the
فهذا يناسب شفاعته ودعاءه
what the prophet said and he said Allah accept my intercession and the prophet and accept my intercession for the prophet and the prophet's intercession for me this would never apply to anybody but anyone but this blind guy it's unique the prophet
وفيه أيضا أنه قال وليس المراد أن يشفع للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في حاجة للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وإن كنا مأمورين بالصلاة والسلام عليه
And we said before, it's not meant here that intercession means intercession. Because the blind guy say, may Allah accept my intercession for the Prophet and the Prophet's intercession for me. How can the guy make intercession for the Prophet? The Prophet makes intercession for everyone, for Muslims and for us on the Day of Judgment. How can this blind guy make intercession for the Prophet peace be upon him? It just means that Allah accepts his prayer. Allah just accepts his supplication because the Prophet peace be upon him helped him to do so or gave him the wording of this supplication.
ثم سلوا الله لي الوسيلة فإنها درجة في الجنة.
And we are ordered
لا تنبغي إلا لعبد من عباد الله وأرجو
that we always mention the Prophet peace be upon him.
سأل الله لي الوسيلة فحبت عليه الشفاعة.
And ask that Allah give him
al-wasila
and al-fadila and to send him this place that Allah this rank that Allah this little or merit that Allah promised him and whoever does this is entitled inshallah to have the intercession of the Prophet for him peace be upon him.
لمصلحة الداعي. وكذلك لما قال للأعمى
and when the Prophet peace be upon him when the Prophet peace be upon him asked his companions to mention his name or to ask Allah to give him al-wasila and al-fadila and to give him that merit, you know, he promised him, it's for
قال وسؤال الأمة له الوسيلة ودعاء له وهو معنى الشفاعة.
ولهذا
كان الجزاء من جنس العمل. صلى عليه صلى الله عليه ومن سأل الله له الوسيلة المتضمنة لشفاعته شفع له النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. دائما الجزاء من جنس العمل. إذا صليت على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وإذا شفعت للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم شفع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لك. كيف تشفع للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم؟ بمعنى أنك تسأل الله تعالى له الوسيلة.
How do we make intercession for the Prophet peace be upon him? We always ask for شفاعة for the Prophet peace be upon him.
قال كذلك الأعمى سأل منه الشفاعة فأمره أن يدعو الله
بقبول الشفاعة.
وهو كالشفاعة في الشفاعة. يعني الأعمى شفع في قبول شفاعة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. فلهذا قال اللهم تشفعه في وشفعني. وذلك أن قبول دعاء النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في مثل هذا هو من كرامة الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم على ربه.
Number 500.
ولهذا عد هذا من آياته ودلائله.
The acceptance of the prophet's
supplication. فهو كشفاعته
in this story.
ولهذا أمر طالب الدعاء أن يقول فشفعه في
وشفعني
بخلاف
قوله وشفعني لنفسي and it's one of the miracles and one of the proofs he's our prophet and he's a real prophet. And it is something that we should believe in as much as we believe in his intercession on the day of judgment for people. And there is another version of the story that says the blind guy said, may Allah accept my intercession for him and his intercession for me. And there is another one that is not true that says, accept my intercession for myself. It looks like weird wording. It looks like the weird term here that is weird for the ear. The ear seems that it's not accepting this sentence or this expression.
There
is the tale of Shu'ba ibn al-Haddad and there is a lot of other versions of the same story of the blind guy with the Prophet, peace be upon him, and what happened in this situation.
And they all
agreed to the version of the hadith that has Allah accepted his intercession for me and my intercession for him, not the one that says my intercession for myself. Number 557. It is known.
ويعني في برضو اللي قبلها يعني 55 معلش يقول يعني ان الشفاعة ايضا من جهة المعنى يعني ما يدل على بطلان الرواية شفعني في نفسي يكون الشفاعة دائما تكون يعني
We'll go back to number
555.
And here is the meaning of the meaning of the term intercession or the word intercession. The word intercession is it requires two parties. It requires two parties. One that asks for something, and the other one is the one who is asked to give that or to grant that. And even when we say we're going to pray shafa and watr. Watr means one, and shafa means it's two, one and one. So, number 557.
قال ومعلوم أن الواحد بعد موته إذا قال اللهم فشفعه في وشفعني فيه مع أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لم يدعو له كان هذا كلاما باطلا. كيف شفعه فيا والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم توفي شفعه فيا بمعنى اقبل دعاءه لي
If it is known that if we use the same wording
in the
supplication that the blind guy said, it's going to be not going to be valid. Because if you say accept his prayer, accept his intercession for me, and accept my intercession for him, how can Allah accept his intercession for you, for if you after the Prophet peace be upon him is dead, and because the when the Prophet said that, it was unique for this blind guy.
قل اللهم إني أسألك وأتوجه إليك لنبينا محمد النبي الرحمة يا محمد إني أتوجه إليك إلى ربي فيقضي بحاجتي.
Even number 536, when we use this version, we did not say accept his intercession in me and accept his intercession in me. Even if we want to use this supplication, we use some of it, not all of it. It would not be true if we. It would not be true. Valid.
وليس هناك من النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم شفاعة أقل
منه. Accept his intercession for me and accept my intercession for him. So we can use the other part of the supplication, but not this part in particular.
ولا ما يظن أنه شفاعة. فلو قال بعد موته يعني ولا طلب يعني ليس فيه. طلب من الله أن يشفع النبي حتى هذا الظلم فيه. قال فلو قال بعد موته فشفعه فيا لكان كلاما لا معنى له، ولهذا لم يأمر به عثمان. والدعاء المأثور عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لم يأمر به، والذي أمر به ليس مأثورا عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. قال ومثل هذا لا تثبت به الشريعة كسائر ما ينقل عن آحاد الصحابة. يقول حتى يعني لو فرضنا 558
انه ثبت هذا الدعاء الصحابي، فقال اولا سيكون دعاء الصحابي ليس مأثورا عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Supplication here. There is no proof to sustain it. There is no proof to.
We
should not take it as granted that we should follow it and we should do it. It's like stories and so many speeches and so many supplications and so many other stuff we hear from one single companion about the Prophet peace be upon him, and afterwards we find no proof to it that should boost it or that should prove it's
right or it's correct. ومما تنازعت فيه الأمة فيجب رده إلى صلى الله
عليه
وسلم. الصحابي لا يكون حجة إذا قالته غيرهم من الصحابة.
Did something and we don't have a proof that it's right or wrong. We always go back to the Sunnah of the Prophet peace be upon him, or we go back to the Quran. If we don't find anything in the Quran or the Sunnah that boosts it or makes it look like it's real, we should never make it as it's granted and it's as if the Prophet peace be upon him came and told us about it or told
us.
So we should always do our best, make our best to out of things that the companions tell us, and we should always debate them, and if we find no approval to them, we should always go back to the Sunnah of the Prophet, peace be upon him, and to the Quran as a measure to what is being said.
قال ولهذا نظائر كثيرة. هذا له نظائر كثيرة، يعني إذا شخص يقول لك يعني هذا قول الصحابي وكيف ترجم قول الصحابي وكذا، يقول طيب عندنا الآن هي نظائر
and كثيرة. And if a person comes and just claims and he just asks us how could you say this, how comes it, this is something said by a companion and you say it is not true, and we always say to him, you know, we don't have a proof of the from the Quran that this is true, and we don't have a proof from the Sunnah this is true. What are we looking here against? Against what? Quran and Sunnah against something that was said by the companion. Of course the Sunnah and the Quran is the right side of the story, you know. We should not even look at this if we don't find any proof to it.
لا يفتح العينين ويتعمد إدخال الماء داخل العينين، فكان يفعل ذلك ابن عمر رضي الله عنه حتى عمي. طبعا هنا يعني في الأثر حتى عمي فترك ذلك، إما أنه مقصود يعني الغاية فقط أو مقصود التعليل، يعني أنه بسبب ذلك يعني عمي،
عبد الله بن عمر would always make wudu, and when it comes to the part he would make wudu and the water comes to his face, he would always do that with his eyes open till he went blind. And it is known that if we make wudu, and the most of the scholars, you know, agree that when we make wudu, we do it. We make wudu with our eyes closed, not with our eyes open, so the water goes into our eyes. There is no benefit behind keeping our eyes open when we do the wudu.
طيب وكان أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه يغسل يديه إلى العضد في الوضوء، العضد اللي هو ما بين المرفق والمنفذ.
Abu Huraira would always make wudu when it comes to his hand. He would just go behind
he
would just go behind the joint that joins the hand with the arm. He would just go behind the elbow and just before the arm.
وكذلك يعني في غسل الرجلين الى الساقين كان يزيد الى انصاف الساقين يغسل الساقين.
When it comes to the feet, he just goes up after this joint, you know, of the feet that joins the feet with.
ويقول من استطاع أن يطيل غرته فليفعل.
With the leg.
النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إن أمتي يدعون يوم القيامة غرا محجلين من آثار الوضوء. والفرس يعني هذا تشبيه بالخيل، يعني الخيل الغر المحجلة التي الغر التي يكون في قوائمها بياض، يكون شعرها أبيض، في الغر في جبينها بياض، والمحجلة اللي في قوائمها بياض. بعض الخيل
And people who do that, the Prophet peace be upon him, they would be there is like a simile here that the Prophet peace be upon him said they would be just like horses, and the horses would have like a white part in there. They would come on the day of judgment with white spots on their faces, and this white spots would would mean just light, because they would make the wudu perfect. They would look like the horses who have like a light spot on their forehead or on the top of the head.
من استطاع منكم أن يزيل غرته وتسديده وصليحه هل هذا من كلام أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أو هو تتمة الحديث؟
And there is a debate here. Is this was this speech from Abu Huraira or was it a continuation of another hadith?
من قول الصحابي يعني بعد أن حدث الحديث كان الصحابي بعد أن حدث الحديث يقول كلاما من نفسه الراوي أدخله في الحديث. وهنا هذا الذي يرجحه شيخ الإسلام رحمه الله.
الإسلام ابن تيمية
كان إذا توضأ يعني يغسل العضد إلى أطراف العضدين ويغسل الساقين.
Would do the same thing that was in the hadith because there is.
وروي عنه أنه كان يمسح عنقه.
And there is, because there is so many proofs from the Sunnah with the companions and the Prophet peace be upon him were doing the same thing. And they were doing, they were just rubbing their neck, the back of their necks with some water. Because of the people who would have fire, you know, we would be on and have fire and still have some fire against like a ring against around their necks, God forbid. That's why some of the companions put some water around their necks. Because the hellfire would never touch something that would never touch a part that was always touched by the water of the wudu.
قال فإن هذا وإن استحبه طائفة من العلماء اتباعا لهما بعض العلماء استحبوا.
Some of the scholars like that.
بطن العينين اتباعا لابن عمر وغسل العضد والساق والوضوء. فقد خالفهم في ذلك آخرون. قالوا قال ولا قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من استطاع أن يطيل غرته فليفعل بل هذا من كلام أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه جاء مجردا في بعض الأحاديث. ماذا يعني رأي المعلم؟ وإنما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إنكم تأتون يوم القيامة غرا محجمين
من
يعني هنا المقصود
The Prophet peace be upon him.
He
did never do more than the arms. Did never do than the feet. Did not do that extra, you know, that extra part of the feet, that extra part of the arm.
He
did the neck. And. The author here, the Sheikh ibn Islam ibn Taymiyyah, said that it's only a continuation of the hadith that Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, he said the hadith, the true words of the Prophet, peace be upon him, and then he continued by his own words. He was talking to people, telling them the hadith, and then he did not mention that this is his own words, or he just continued saying what he would do, or what he would like to do.
يعني بداية العضد لكن لا يزيد يعني حتى يأخذ شيئا من العضد.
So Sheikh Al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah here said that when it comes to wudu, he just do it till the elbow of the hand, just to this joint of the arm.
استعاد المتقين واستعاد التعبير. قال فقال أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه من استطاع أن يطيل غرته فليفعل، وظن من ظن أن غسل العضد من إطالة الغرة وهذا لا معنى له. وحتى في بعض ال
And after Abu Huraira said that, people only thought that to get this white spot in the face to make it more obvious, you know, they would do more of the arm, you know, have water on it and have water on another part of the feet, or go up on the feet till we cover part of the leg. And this is totally wrong, because in the speech of the Prophet, peace be upon him, Ghurra means the forehead, and the forehead is the part that has the white part of light, you know, because they were doing the perfect way they can.
قال وكذلك ابن عمر رضي الله عنه كان يتحرى أن يسير مواضع سير النبي صلى الله عليه
وسلم
وينزل مواضع منزله ويتوضأ في السفر
ويصب فضل على شبهه in the same footsteps that the Prophet were at, and the same places that the Prophet were at before.
يعني لأن البعض يقول لك هذا عثمان بن حنيف رجل من أصحاب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ودعا بهذا الدعاء، كيف تقولون إنه دعاء يعني خاطئ ودعاء مبتدع وكذا؟ وطبعا تكلم يعني في سنده كلام، لكن حتى لو سنده فيعني لا من أحد من هؤلاء الذين ينكرون علينا أن نترك العمل بقول الصحابي انفرد في مسألة، لا من أحد من هؤلاء إلا وقد ترك العمل بانفرادات بعض الصحابة. فذكر هنا أن عبد الله بن عمر الصحابي الجليل رضي الله عنه.
عبد الله بن عمر.
كان له يعني كان.
Was always making sure
يتحضى كان يسافر مع رسول الله.
He would always travel with the Prophet peace be upon him when
he traveled. يتحضى مواضع سير النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
He would just
follow
the places where the Prophet peace be upon him rested.
موضع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم توقف عن السير فيه ونزل استراح.
And the places that the Prophet peace be upon him stopped and rested, he would like to be in the same places physically, in the same places.
كان الذي توقف فيه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم السفر ليتوضا in his travel.
In the same places that the Prophet made wudu, so Abdullah ibn Umar would stop at the same places and make his wudu. There was some water left, so the Prophet, peace be upon him, took it to a tree, and then he just watered the tree. And Abdullah ibn Umar, whenever he did that travel again, he would just go to that tree with whatever water left from his wudu and just water the tree. Abdullah ibn Umar just liked the places that the Prophet visited. The Prophet peace be upon him made wudu.
كما لم يستحبه ولم يفعله أكابر الصحابة كأبي بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي
وعبد الله وعبد
جبل وغيره رضي الله عنه. يعني كبار الصحابة كانوا لا يفعلون مثل ما يفعل.
But most of the scholars did not like that. And most of
لم يفعلوا مثل ما فعل ولو رأوه مستحبا لفعلوا.
Did that. Like Abu Bakr never did that, and Umar never did that, and Uthman and Ali, they never did that, and Ibn Mas'ud and
Ali and Jabal, and
the rest of the
companions never did that. فإذا فعل فعلا على وجه العبادة شرع لنا أن نفعله على وجه العبادة. وإذا قصد تخصيص مكان أو زمان بالعبادة فقد أخذناه بذلك.
But they always let the Prophet lead, and they always try to do like what he does, but they never were like Abdullah ibn Umar and just be in the places that were at before, or make to do in the same place that the Prophet was at before and stuff like that.
لكن ما كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يتحرى مثلا نفس المكان في كل سفرة أو يتوضع في هذا المكان.
Did the Prophet always went to the same place and make it like a place especially for worship? And did he ever stop back by this tree and watered it again? No. Otherwise we would have taken this as a habit for us, and we would do it again and again and again. But the Prophet never stopped again at this tree and never specified that this is like
كما كان يقصد أن يطوف حول الكعبة
وأن يلتمس الحجر الأسود.
أن يتوقف حول الكعبة صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يقصد الطواف حول الكعبة وتخصيص هذا المكان لا يطوف إلا به الحجر.
But the Prophet peace be upon him mentioned that we
saw the Kaaba
and we
touched
the black stone.
وكان يتحضر الصلاة عند أسطوانة مسجد المدينة. أسطوانة في روضة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يتحضر الصلاة
عندها. Around the Masjid al-Madina, the Mosque of al-Madina. The Prophet did not do this intentionally. He did this. He did not do this unintentionally. He did this intentionally. He did this
on purpose.
When he does this intentionally and on purpose, he means for us to see him and do.
وأما ما فعله بحكم الاتفاق ولم يقصد. اتفق له. يعني هذا المكان الذي
and do like him afterwards.
احتاج الى الراحة عنده فارتاح عنده لم يقصد النزول في هذا المكان يعني لعلمه. مثل ان ينزل بمكان ويصلي فيه لكونه نزله لا قصدا لتخصيصه بالصلاة والنزول. فاذا قصدنا تخصيص ذلك المكان بالصلاة فيه او النزول لم نكن متبعين. بل هذا من البدع التي كان ينهى عنها عمر بن الخطاب. عمر والد عبد الله بن عمر كان ينهى عن ما يفعله
عبد الله بن عمر.
قال كما ثبت بالإسناد الصحيح من حديث شعبة عن سليمان
السيدي
عن المعرور بن سويد قال كان عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه في سفر فصلى الغداء يعني صلى صلاة الفجر ثم أتى على مكان فجعل الناس يأتونه فيقولون صلى فيه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال عمر إنما هلك أهل الكتاب أنهم اتبعوا آثار أنبيائهم فاتخذوها كنائس وليعة
سليمان التيمي
فمن عرضت له الصلاة فليصل
وإن كان عمر بن الخطاب may Allah be pleased with him he was in one of his travels so he prayed Fajr and people and then he sat down and people came to him and they said the Prophet peace be upon him pray here and pray there and we will just pray here and pray there and Umar just told them people, you know, people before you, people before you did the wrong thing, and that's how and they died doing the same thing.
It's
forbidden in the first place. They just followed their prophet and used to go again and again in the same places. They just traced the places the prophets were at, and then after after a while it became an action, and when the prophets died, they just built the churches in these places where they thought that their prophets were at, or the prophet had foot traces on these places.
فلما كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لم يقصد تخصيصه بالصلاة فيه بل صلى فيه لأنه موضع نزوله، رأى عمر أن مشاركته في صورة الفعل من غير موافقة له في قصده ليس متابعة. مشاركة في صورة الفعل أن تصلي في هذا المكان مع اختلاف قصدك عن قصد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
So when the Prophet prayed in a certain place, he happened to be at this place and he prayed like as if you pray, you know, at your house or pray at the masjid. So and we just imitate him or try to do like him and pray in the same place, something that you should not do.
ونهى المسلمين عن التشبه بهم في ذلك، ففاعل ذلك متشبه بالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في الصورة ومتشبه باليهود والنصارى في القصد الذي هو عمل القلب. إن عمر بن قال إن هذا فعل اليهود والنصارى
And like what Umar says, may Allah be pleased with him, it's like this is like the action of the Jews, the Jew, and the action of
the Christians who just
do that.
ولهذا لما اشتبه على كثير من العلماء جلسة الاستراحة، هل فعلها استحبابا أو لحاجة عارضة تنازعوا فيها. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يجلس
The Prophet, peace be upon him, he used to sit.
يعني للاستراحة عليه الصلاة والسلام.
Just to rest, peace be
upon him. بعد القيام من الركعة بعد القيام.
After he stands up
السجدة الأخيرة من الركعة الأولى.
Prostration
position. يجلس النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم جلسة
prostration position from the first ركعة.
بين الأولى والثانية جلسة
just
وبين الثالثة والرابعة أيضا
Just between the first and the second.
هذه وردت في بعض الأحاديث أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لم يكن يفعلها في أول أمره، ثم صار يفعلها من كبر عليه.
We are told that the Prophet peace be upon him
did not choose to do it in the
younger. And after that, he used to do it. It is just because he got older and he just wanted to take a rest. Like, you stand up for the first rak'ah and it's a long rak'ah and then you prostrate and then you just rest for like a very brief while and then you used to stand up again and before you stand up again for the second
rak'ah.
So the scholars said that we should not do this unless we need it. If we need to rest for a while, not everybody should do it. So people who don't need it, whoever don't need it, he will just stand up right away after his prostration and in the first rak'ah. And whoever needs it after his prostration for the first rak'ah, and he's going to just stand up. For the second rak'ah, he should sit down for it. And our brother asks here, what is advisable for us? Do this brief sit down or just stand up again shortly after we prostrate for the first rak'ah and the third rak'ah? And the Sheikh says it's advisable if we do the brief and sit down. It's always brief sit down.
يسمى متابعته عليه الصلاة والسلام فيها، وإنما هذا في الأفعال التي فعلها تعبدا فنفعلها فيه تعبدا، وما فعله اتفاقا أو لحاجة من الحوائج فلا يكون نافعا من أجر أو ثواب في تعمد فعل هذه الأفعال، لأنه يكون مشابهة في الصورة مع اختلاف القصد. قال وكذلك نزوله بالمحصب عند الخروج من منى لما اشتبه. المحصب اسم وادي يعني نزل فيه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وخارج من منى فنزل في وادي المحصب. هل فعله لأنه كان أسمح بخروجه أو لكونه سنة تنازعوا في ذلك. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم نزل في وادي المحصب.
When he said that
نزل فيه يعني
تشريعا in the valley and the valley of المحصب.
يستحب النزول في هذا المكان أو أنه نزله يعني لأنه كان المكان المناسب يعني للاستراحة فيه والنزول فيه. فمن قال يعني أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقصد به التعبد قال لا يسمى.
Did the Prophet
ومن هذا وضع ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما يده على مقعد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
كان الذي كان يقعد عليه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم
في المنبر.
He did not do it for that. He just do it for. Did that for
just for. كان عمر رضي الله عنهما يضع يده على المكان الذي كان يقعد عليه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم المنبر. فيمسح يده بالمكان ثم يمسح إليه وجهه. طبعا التبرك بآثار النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم مشروع.
And the man had always put his hand and caressed the Prophet would has always sat down.
هي الأشياء المتصلة به صلى الله عليه وسلم وليس في الأشياء التي اتصلت في جسده الشريف مثل الثياب التي لبسها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وشعر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وريح النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وكذا. فهذه أشياء يتبرك بها، لكن الأماكن التي جلس فيها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يتبرك بها.
We would always seek blessings in the Prophet's
head,
peace be upon him, or something that touched his body, not the places he went to. Like a garment, like a garment or an outfit that he put on one time. We should think that we get blessing out of this, but not the places that the Prophet peace be upon him went to, or carries our hands in a box that the Prophet peace be upon him sat at or sat on.
لما حلق شعره عليه الصلاة والسلام في حجة الوداع يعني
رفع بين الحجة الرجل he had his hair cut in Hajj al-Wada', he just gave it to all the people who did the pilgrimage at this time because it's a blessing.
People will always think that this here
put water and put some water on and drink it just because the because of the blessing the blessings that come out of it. And this member the people think that the Prophet peace be upon him was on, it's not the same member that the Prophet used to stand on give his speeches. And we should not seek blessings out of the places that the Prophet
وتعريف ابن عباس
the Prophet touched or
رضي الله عنهما بالبصرة وعمر بن طريف رضي الله عنه بالكوفة. هذه أيضا من المسائل التي كان فيها اجتهاد لبعض الصحابة ولم
or some of the companions tried to verify, tried to make sure whether it's
true or false. ويدعو إلى أن تغرب الشمس من الظهر إلى المغرب. فكان يفعل هذا ابن عباس في البصرة وليس حاجة. كان يعرف يسمى التعريف اللي هو يعني الجلوس يعني في المساجد لتلاوة القرآن.
ابن عباس would always come on Friday and stay
in the Basra. عبد الله بن عباس رضي الله عنه في البصرة
from Zuhr time to Maghrib time.
لكن
and he would read Quran and everything and he would define this as staying and that this is something that Allah likes staying in his in the house of Allah on Friday such a good day from
الظهر
to from from Dhuhr to Al Maghrib, and he was not one of the people who are doing the pilgrimage at this year.
قال فإن هذا لما لم يكن مما يفعله سائر الصحابة. يعني هذا لم يفعله لا أبو بكر ولا عمر ولا
This is an act that most of the other companions did not do, like Abu Bakr, like Umar, like Uthman, like Ali. Ibn Abbas just saw that it's a good deed.
قال لما لم يكن مما يفعله سائر الصحابة ولا يكن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم
شرع عليه لم
يمكن أن يقال هذا سنته
مستحبة
من السنن المستحبة التعريف في الأنصار أو في البلدان بل غايته أن يقال هذا مما ساغ فيه اجتهاد الصحابة.
And this is something that Generation over generation. There is no proof that the Prophet, peace be upon him, did that or used to do that.
هذا الوقت يعني وقت الفاضل يحتمل بالذكر والدعاء والقران. هذا اجتهاد منهم لم يوافقهم عليه يعني بقيه الصحابه. فقال هذه المساله يعني غايتها
Thinking that Allah is closer to the people in masjids and in the place of the Hajj. It is something that is debatable, but it was thought that it's good
some of the
companions. But
it is not, again, it's not
sunnah.
وهذا يقوله يعني بعض العلماء قالوا يعني استشهدوا بفعل ابن عباس وعمر بن قريش رضي الله عنه.
And most of the
على أن تعريفة الأنصار يعني
if you want to do the same thing
يجوز فعله أحيانا
like Ibn Abbas, like what he did in Basra, and you would stay in the masjid from Dhuhr time to Maghrib time in the time of the pilgrimage. It's okay as long as you don't repeat it like an action or like sunnah.
قال وهكذا يقول أئمة العلم بهذا وأمثاله تارة يكرهون وتارة يسوغون فيه الاجتهاد وتارة يرخصون فيه إذا لم يتخذ سنة. قد دائما يعني مواقف العلماء من هذه المسائل التي يعني فيها
اضطرادات لبعض المخالفين في المواقف.
فقد نجد في بعض
العلماء يكرهون هذا الأمر الذي فعله النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. So some of them would hate to do it and ask people not to do it. And some others would say, you know, we would debate it, it's debatable, and we should research more and get to the bottom of it and know for sure if it's right or wrong again, or if we should do it again, or it's very debatable and a very controversial thing to do. And some other scholars would say, People can do this once but they never try it again and make it a sunnah or make it as a make it equal to anything that the Prophet peace be upon him asked us to do and repeat. But none of these scholars ever said this is sunnah, and all Muslims should do it and follow it and do it.
قال ولا يقول عالم بالسنة إن هذه سنة مشروعة للمسلمين فإن ذلك إنما يقال فيما شرعه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذ ليس لغيره أي سنة ولا يشرع وما سنه خلفاء الراشدون فإنما سموه بأمره صلى الله عليه وسلم
ask us to do it and repeat it and keep repeating it and doing it over and over and over. Nobody can say this is sunnah or ask us to repeat something as long as the Prophet peace be upon him did not say it's sunnah or we should do it. When they gathered the Quran together in Abu Bakr's time, after the Prophet was passed away and Umar too, and the time of Umar too, during the reign of Umar, during the reign of Abu Bakr, some scholars said that the Prophet, peace be upon him, it was his request, or he asked them to do this. And some other people said, no, the Prophet, peace be upon him, did not tell them to gather the Quran or put it together and make it as one book. But if we look at it, all the reciters and all the hasata, all the people who used to memorize the Quran, passed away after the Prophet passed away.
And
the congregation prayer of the Taraweeh. People would come together to pray together. The Prophet peace be upon him.
قال ولا يكون في الدين واجبا إلا ما أوجبه ولا حرام
إلا ما أوجبه ولا مستحب إلا
ولا مستحب إلا ما
أوجبه ولا
مباح إلا ما أباح
people would think it's one of the obligatory compulsory prayers. So that's why the Prophet
الدعاء الذي علمه
did not try to do it again and again and again. But for the gathering of the Quran, so most of the reciters that used to recite the Quran by heart used to die. That's why Abu Bakr and Umar tried to put the Quran together in one book and make it one book, because most of these people were dying, and you know, just for the safekeeping of the Quran.
من أفعال الصحابة كما مر بنا ولا زال الحديث يعني عن مفردات الصحابة.
We will continue talking about the صحابة and what they said and what they
الأربعاء
on Wednesday إن شاء الله.
وهيكون إن شاء الله الأربعاء البث الأخير بإذن الله والتأخير يعني شهادات حضور الطلبة إجازات أيضا بالأسانيد إن شاء الله لمن يرغب يعني الأربعاء هذا إن شاء الله يكون هذا الأسبوع الخميس
إن شاء الله. إن شاء الله would be the last day.
الاختبار إن شاء الله يكون يوم السبت.
And the test would be إن شاء الله
في مقر الجامعة يعني.
On
اختبار
the
فقط
test.
للطلاب المسجلين بالجامعة يعني غير المسجلين.
The test would be on Saturday, and it's only for the registered students. It's going to be where the university is on Saturday, inshallah. And it's going to be at 1:30 p.m. after the holy prayer, inshallah. It's only for the registered students. The 23rd of August, inshallah, Saturday, the 23rd of August, it's going to be 1:30 p.m. at where the university, the Islamic University is.